Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here. Great day worshiping God, first day of the week. Amen. I'm excited for this lesson. Wait, I'm excited for all the lessons, but I'm just saying. So this particular lesson, it was the first lesson I'd ever done. It's about 15 years ago. And when I did it, I was super nervous. And I remember, because I put it in a sweet red folder, and I had it all these years. And I've seen it. I've never really gone back to it. But I felt it was an appropriate lesson because of what we're doing here now at the church here that meets in Wasilla in our endeavor to evangelize. And so it was a book. I meant to bring the book, but the book was by Homer Haley, Let's Go Fishing for Men. And it's a good read because it helps you understand what it takes, why we should be doing it, but also to understand the person you're talking to. It's just a real good book to help us get out of our comfort shell as far as evangelizing. I want to say thank you for those that went door knocking. I had a wonderful time. It's great. Here's the good news. We're doing it again next Saturday. Are you kidding me? So if you hadn't had a chance to go, show up. We'll be at 10:30. Well, more to come. I'm not sure. We're going to be at the park again, Daniel, you think? 10:30 at the park, Wonderland Park. That's where we're going to have the event. You need to come. It's fun. We had kids. Nora was there knocking on doors. Bella was there. Weston. We had the kids. I always say Rebecca when I mean Evie. Evie and Alice were there. Strider was there. Brooklyn, Josie, who did I miss? I missed somebody? All right, and adults were there too, just so you know. But anyway, it's good, and it's going out there. And you know, a lot of people are receptive. You think when you knock on the door, they're going to be, no, it's not that way at all. Some people aren't interested, that's cool. But anyway, I just wanted to say, you all encourage me so much. It makes me just think about the brotherhood here and what we're doing. So I appreciate you all big time. I really mean that sincerely. And so to get to the lesson here, I shall begin. I'm going to take it out of this red folder here for now. You see the scripture here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. You can also find it in Luke chapter 5, right? Jesus meets up with these fishermen. And he told these fishermen, he told Peter that they would now be catching men, right? They were fishing for fish. But they dropped their fishing nets and stopped catching fish, and they began to follow Jesus. And now they were going to be fishing for men. So the nets that they were going to cast out were saving souls. Can you just imagine that the church, Christ is coming, his church is, the kingdom's at hand, and now he's there. It's go time, and he grabs these fishermen. And yeah, it's interesting because some would look at them where it's said of that they were uneducated men. But really, it was the more in the sense, if you really look at that, it was that, well, they're not PhDs and those kinds of, why should we listen to them? They didn't go to college for 20 years. You don't need to do that for the Bible and preaching it and following Jesus. You don't need that stuff. And so, but my lesson this morning, as I mentioned, is to focus on our duties as Christians in spreading the gospel. And spread our nets in the community to bring people into Christ's boat. You see what I'm doing there? The analogy I'll be using in this fishing analogy. And to save their souls. So I am talking about evangelism. And one of the most important things we can do as a Christian. Right? If I was looking at a list like the top things as being a Christian, what's on the top there? Sharing the good news, the good message, the good tidings of the kingdom of God. Right? We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're proclaiming these glad tidings, if you're giving someone a glad tiding and you're just sharing the message to somebody, you're actually evangelizing. It's not rocket science type stuff here we're talking about. There's a scripture here in 2 Timothy 4:5. It says, Paul's telling Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and so he revealed this statistic. I didn't do the fact checking on it, but I think I can agree with it at a level. And it said, the statistic said that only 3% of all people come to church on their own accord. They're just going to show up on their own. And 97% are going to be invited. In other words, someone had shared something with them or helped them along to come to at least our congregation here. Terry, we good with that? Okay. So so if that's the case, then you can see where those are at. There's a lot of people out there that need us to be able to share the word or invite them. You see what's going on? It's easy to get lazy. It's easy. I mean, I can even think if I'm continuing on with my fishing analogy. It's good, right? We got a tent meeting coming up. People are fishing right now. So I think it all kind of flows in for a good lesson. But it's easy to be a lazy fisherman. The fish are over here. The fish are over there. And you're just going to sit in this one spot and just have your line there. And just, well, hope they come to me. Right? We want to be more excited about what we're doing. And so the thing about the Bible, and this, I wrote this 15 years ago, and when you read the Bible should produce something in you to want to be desirous of sharing the message with someone. It just has to. If you don't have that desire, you're not reading the gospel, because it should have that desire. And when I had wrote this all those years ago, we had a real small, this lesson was delivered. Ed, how many was back then when I showed up at that, for like 15 of us, 17? And here we are now, we got plenty more to go. And so it should compel us. And so I'm hoping that we'll have an excitement about the work we're trying to do here at the Church of Wasilla. You know, Paul, all these things, you know, we have to be living a Christian life. We have to be out in the community. You know, in 1 Timothy in chapter 6 and verse 13, you know, Paul gives charge to Timothy. We got to be living a godly life, right? And so he says, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ's church, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have the godly life that you live, but we're also got to be preaching the word. In 2 Timothy 4:1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, I realize as you're reading this, you go, well, yeah, but Timothy was actually an evangelist like Paul on that level. I'm not there, but I'm going to show you some scripture that's going to put you there. That this is for all of us, not just Timothy, not just a preacher, not just, it's not. You're going to see that here in a moment. And so we are to be ready to preach, we're to share the word, we need to live a godly life. And so here we go then in Matthew. You know I was going there, right? This is dubbed what? The Great Commission. It's the Great Commission because if you think about it, it's like a co-mission with Jesus. Like we are sharing in his mission. And when I was reading it this morning, something kind of came to me, and I just never, I thought about it maybe in a way, but this really made me think about it even further. So you know this scripture. Right, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Right, there's the authority part. So all authority has been given to Jesus. Right, a very simple, straightforward, all authority has been given to Jesus. So he's telling them to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Sons and the Holy Ghost. So that's what he's telling them to do. He's telling them to do those things. Okay, and I'll stay with it now. He says, teaching them to observe all things. So go out there. You're going to baptize them. You're going to teach them all the things that I've commanded you. What are you going to do? You're going to command them to do the same thing. You see what's going on? He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. So whatever he's commanding the apostles, who else is he commanding? Those baptized individuals. That's you. If you're baptized into Christ. So that's for all of us. And so we have this co-mission with Christ, and that we preach the same message, right? We support the same message, support the same mission, that the co-mission. It's real simple and straightforward. And so what was that when we go through scriptures? Well, first, and I had this up earlier, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which is lost. What was Jesus' mission? To seek and save the lost. What mission did he give to his apostles? To seek and to save the lost and to teach them what they observed in him and taught, were taught by him, to give to us. What are we? So it's perpetual. It continues on. So that was the mission. What else we got here? Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So we know then that Jesus gave of his life. We just partook of the Lord's Supper. We talked about these emblems. A sacrifice existed. That's what he did. He wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about others. He was worried about you. He did something for you. So then I was thinking of 1 Peter 2:5, right? We're a holy priesthood. We should be offering our spiritual sacrifices, doing our part. This is what the Bible has to say about these things. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, right? The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundantly. I always struggle with words sometimes. But you can read it. It's up here, all right? He came to give life, and so people could have an abundance of a good, peaceful, joyful life. That's a good message. We're knocking on doors saying, hey, you know, we're doing something here. This is what God wants of us. He wants us to go out to knock on your door. He wants to say, he wants us to help you have a better life. What's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with that? You all want a better life? You put God first in your life. And if God's in your life, you're going to be talking to people and sharing. They're going to see it in you. That's okay. This is stuff that we ought to be doing and thinking about and praying about. My last thought on this one here is John 4:24, that God is spirit, and that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So I would also say that Jesus' mission was about what? It was about truth. One truth. A lot of truths out there, people so say there is, but there's only one truth. You know, I think about all these scriptures about this mission, and I think about supporting the mission, which takes me all the way back to Acts chapter 2 when the church was established, because we would claim ourselves to be what? Like if someone asked me, I'm knocking on a door, New Testament church, right? Or the New Testament, where you read about us, hey, you got your Bible? Let's go. This is us right here. So if we say that in our book, in our chapter, in our verses, then it's reasonable that we would support the same thing that they were doing in Acts chapter 2. I mean, that's got to be fair to say. I mean, that's what the Bible's saying. So again, I'm encouraging all of us to think about these things and to pray about these things in our lives and where we're at with it. And so in teaching his same message, we must share his same concern. See, we got the truth, we got the message, but do we have the concern? You see, that's the missing element sometimes. We don't have the concern about these things. We go about our day, we get busy, we do our things. We're not so concerned about other people. And believe me, this is a lesson. This lesson's me. This is to me. I don't always have the concern that way for the spiritually lost. Now, we're not trying to cram religion down people's throat, just as we're not trying to cram a lure down a fish's throat. I wrote that years ago. I'm thinking, time out. We're all probably trying to do that. That's okay. You can cram the Bible down someone's throat. I don't care if you're doing that. But in a sense, I know we're not going to probably do that. But my point is that you know, people are going to take it or not. And I was okay with it. You know, I mentioned in our class today that when Charles and I knocked on a door, they said not interested. And Charles made a remark as we were walking away. At some point, they'll be interested. But that's on them. We did our part. No big deal. But so, you know, we're instructed to do what? We're just instructed to share the news, to preach the word, to teach it to people. Plants. We water. I was thinking about plant and water. Who gives the increase? God does. You want to talk about plant and watering? Well, one of the doors that was knocked on yesterday had heard our little radio ad. We got a little radio ad going on right now about the tent meeting. Someone actually heard it. And then you knock on their door, that's planting, that's watering. God will give the increase on that. You see what's going on? You get them over here, so you just keep it in front of them. Not a big deal here. So as successful fishermen have the proper equipment and knowledge to catch fish, right? The Christian has the necessary tools for perpetual teaching, right? So we have the ability to spread the gospel. We got a sweet foundation built by who? By Christ, the prophets, and the apostles. In Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So there's a foundation, and actually Corinthian letter, Paul talked about that foundation, that keeping that, it's just keeping the same stuff going. It's pretty simple, straightforward stuff. And so we have that. We don't have to reinvent the wheel here. There's no reinvention of the wheel going on. It's straightforward. We don't have to find it for ourselves. We have the instructional aid right there in our midst to help us mature, right, to grow in the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18, this is one of our, in our radio show that we do, right? Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Right, grow. We got to grow in the grace, the knowledge. You see that? Those are the things that we do. And when we do that, we're more compelled to be the people we need to be. And 2 Timothy 3:16. I almost didn't throw it in there, but I got to because I'm talking about instructional aid. We know what we need to be doing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? What things are the Bible going to help me with? Well, it's going to help me with what? For God's truth, his doctrine. For reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, all those things the Bible is going to do for me, that I may be perfect before God, that I may be complete, that I'll be ready to do any of the deeds or works that God would have me do. But it's in here, and that's where we need to be going. What we do is we spend 5 minutes with God. I need more, God. 5 minutes. And we're going to give him 5 minutes. And we expect all this lightning bolts and everything's going to be great. I'm going to have the best faith of all in 5 minutes. My faith has taken me a long time to even get to this point, and I get worried about going backwards in faith. And you all spend 10 minutes and you're wondering why the way you feel you do, that you're not compelled to do more. I'm just going through what the Bible says, and I see these things, I read them. And so I'm a work in progress. I'm a show in progress. But we get to encourage one another, and we got to spend some time here doing this stuff. And so with all that being said, then, God has given us a responsibility. He's also given us ability as well. We have ability. We really do. And so Matthew 25:14, the parables of the talents, right? For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And then to one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightforward took his journey. So the parable there, but the point being is that some people have a little bit more abilities than other people do, and I get that. But you have some ability. He's giving you something. And so in this parable, he gave an amount based on their own ability. We have different abilities, but again, the point is we have some ability, and the question is what we're doing with it and are willing to increase it. Now, I was thinking about a couple things because we had a couple lessons on Jonah, and Jonah kept trying to run from God. He just couldn't do it because God kept putting himself in front of him. And I think about the Bible, and I mean this in a positive sense, but you all know me well enough when I start saying things. The Bible is going to mess you up. The Bible will mess you up. If you spend time in the Bible, it will mess you up. And I'm saying amen to that, because the more that you're in, the more that you're going to realize the things you ought to be doing and not doing and being a better Christian. So I made that in a positive sense. But it's not going to mess you up in this positive sense if we don't spend time in there. How much time did we spend in the Bible this last week? What are we doing? What are we doing? And so, a personal work, this came from the book, Let's Go Fishing for Men. A personal work, let no man say in his heart, I know Jesus did it, and it needs to be done today, but I can't do it. All may not be as efficient as others, but each can do personal work in his or her own way. And I think that sounds pretty good to me, that we all, some way, we can do something. We all ain't got the same. We don't need to have the same ability. Bible talks, we don't have to have the same abilities. How boring would that be? We all have different things we bring to the table. That's good stuff. So let the one who excuses himself reflect upon, how about Peter and the fishermen? They're willing to do their part, and they gave up a whole bunch. And I want you to think about Peter. Where did I have that? In Matthew 27 and verse 74, he says, then began he to curse and to swear. Right? This is Peter. You know, he's denying Jesus three times. Nobody's perfect. You think Peter was all that in a bag of chips? He was not. And because he did that, he was probably one that probably was an habitual person who did that. But what did he become in the kingdom of God? He became a powerful, powerful person in the kingdom. Under Jesus' guidance, John, the son of thunder, became a great apostle. When you read through John's writings, what do you get? Love one another. I mean, and then what about our great Paul, you know, was one, you know, where he was a Pharisee, powerful, what he was doing, killing Christians and all those things. But he became a very good person in the kingdom. Powerful preacher, compassionate, winning souls. And these men were willing, if you will, to fish in the worst of conditions. They were not deterred by death, travel difficulties, dangerous localities, or even any fear. I mean, we just read in our Bible study this morning about Paul. What was last week's class? Mostly about all the things that he went through. And think about us, man. We have a hard time doing anything not to make an excuse over it. I'm sorry to say that, but we do that. These people are facing death. You're all going to die at some point. You're all dying. It's not if, it's when. We got to be ready, and we have to have an excitement by it. Now, I got to say this. Have you ever noticed that people who love to fish really love to fish? I mean, they'll go wherever, going to fish wherever. It doesn't matter what the weather conditions are. You go to their house, they got the big trophies up there. I mean, they're fishing. They love it. And, I mean, the cell phone comes out now. It's like, oh, great. Here, I got to watch all these, you know. Because they love it. They have a passion behind it. And how much money do they spend in fortunes and boats and motors and all this stuff? And they got all the tackle boxes. They got all the lures. And they're doing it. That's good. God's giving this beautiful world. Why not do some of the things you enjoy so much? Do those things. For us, we're not subject to the condition that the apostles went through. We're just not. Now, in other countries, maybe that there at times in the past, certainly there is. But for us, I'm just talking right here in Wasilla. We're not dealing with those things. And yet, we do have a fear about stuff. I mean, if I talk evangelism, what's the biggest fear? It's rejection. I understand that. And even though I enjoyed yesterday, I'm not saying that deep down I'm not kind of like, oh man, how's it going to go? Hon Charles, the first door? We lucked out. The first door was a nice person. Yeah, we're going now. It was good. Everybody was pretty nice. And even those that weren't interested, no big deal. But it's amazing though, again, people that see what you're doing to do that, they like, well, good for you. And then I think in their minds, like, oh, we ought to be doing something too. You know, high five, pound it. I think they have give that sense to me. But with it then, we don't want to be ruled by fear. That's one way we don't want to live our lives. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. If I put my trust in the Lord, he's going to keep me safe. Then that shouldn't matter at any level. I was listening to Caleb Robertson on a sermon he did before their tent meeting last year when COVID was going on, because everyone was shutting down. They're not shutting down. They didn't shut down. So regardless of what the city said, whatever, they're going to do it. They're like, the doors of God are going to be left open. And so again, there was things that could have happened and whatever. And then his point is, you know, let's do it together. Let's go. And so the fear, let's not have that. And Acts 18:9, they spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. So again, we have all the equipment. We have what we need. We're going to follow in the steps of the apostles and disciples and what they were doing. We're going to be in that co-mission. And so we don't want to be afraid about things that we're doing for God. And so God can mold and use everyone in some place today. Though one may be small and obscure in their own sight, right? Sometimes we feel like, it's like Moses. Go through people in the Bible that just had a sense of timidity regarding the things that God was going to have them do. So you're better than that. God is the master potter. All things are possible. The urgent need of the hour is for all to say, here I am, send me, comes from Isaiah. And so we shouldn't be ashamed, right? There's none of us need to be ashamed about what we're doing and preaching. So in 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Right? God's power unto salvation. His dynamite's the word. And we ought not to be ashamed of it. You know Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. Right? Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. You ought not to be ashamed of it. He had a firm conviction of its value and its truth, and he was far from being ashamed by it. And so ashamed has two parts. The first part of it is guilt and disappointment. Paul was innocent before God. Think about that. I'm innocent before God. I have no guilt about what I'm going to talk to you about. I feel good on how I'm living my life. I'm being a good example. And I have no guilt. The other aspect of being ashamed is disappointment. Paul had no disappointment. He had no regrets. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And so if we want different results, we got to change things up a little bit. So don't be ashamed. We must move the excitement of biblical evangelism and be brave in its proclamation it produces. We need to have courage. We need to be brave. I get that. The kids don't. Man, you should have saw Nora. Scooter let me have her for a bit. Man, I had to start running after her. She's like, let's go. And the kids, they're just like, yes. Adults, we don't feel that way because, you know, they don't know what's going on so much, you know. And they enjoy time being with one another. We're having fun. But I know you said a prayer one time that really stood with me it's already working. This tent meeting, regardless of what happens here going forward, is the camaraderie. It's the teamwork of putting ourselves out there to say, you know, we lowered this church here and we're not the best and we probably could do better, but we're doing something. We're just not going to show up and just sing a song, hear a lesson and roll. Come on. We read the Bible. It's going to mess you up. Told you, positive sense. Remember that now. Don't quote me on it in the improper way. Okay. So, but the excitement comes from the desire and love of wanting to do something. I know it, you know, when it's time for fishing and you love fishing, you're going. Now, I know my daughter's here going, I don't really love to fish. Well, you know what? We'll put other things. How about shopping? You ain't missing that day. What about going on vacation? Just put something in that you enjoy more than anything else in your mind right now. Think about above that should be things of God. Our time's we ain't got much time here. Time is going quickly. What are we doing with that time? That's another lesson. I'm going off the cuff here. All right, let's get back. And so We have a love for it. So sometimes we have a love more for the material things. We do. I do. I'm working my way through some of those things. So we have that love of material things more than the spiritual. In Matthew 20, 21, we have here the mother of the sons of Zebedee who wanted her sons to sit on the left and right side of Christ in his kingdom. Right? It says, she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left of the kingdom. Jesus, like, you're not even sure what you're talking about here, and what you're even asking. He had some more things to say about it, but the point here is a misconception. Higher and lesser positions on this earth mean nothing to God. And that's why sometimes the material stuff we want to have the better phone, we want to have all these things. Well, they have all that, they got this, they... We have to keep things in perspective. In spreading the gospel, it's difficult. I get it at the beginning. But I also just made a note here from all those years ago that even the first time that you go fishing, Dad took me, you get tangled up and backlash, and then you get better. I mean, come on, put anything in there. Baseball, softball, school. I mean, you get better as you keep doing things. But we do the least when it comes to Bible stuff, so that's why we're never proficient enough. We're just not. And we don't need to be a PhD in the Bible all the time, but you start somewhere. You know what? You might surprise yourself. You really might surprise yourself if God grants you long life. And so, and it doesn't matter how old you are now. Today's the day. Today's the day of salvation, right? And sometimes the fish aren't always biting. We got to keep casting, and you might have to change things. I heard this the other day that we're in the long game. We're in the long game. This isn't something that's happening like this. You might not receive results on something for a long time. Maybe this person that heard our advertising of the tent meeting, and then we hand them a brochure. Maybe it's 2 years later, they just, I don't know. I don't need to know. All I need to know is I did my part at some very insignificant, small level. And I know I can do better. And so the messages is always the same. Message never changed, but the methods can change up on how we do things, certainly, with the advent of Facebook and different things. I understand. We need proper equipment, knowledge, how to use it, wisdom, and practice makes perfect. Now, that was Paul. Paul had a good attitude here. Oh, I didn't mean as far as focusing goes on this here, that the things that we should focus on is the spiritual things, Isaiah 48. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. I meant to say that again. What's going to be the thing that lasts? And it's that. Here's Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain of the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them under the law. To them that were without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to the Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, and the might I gain, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So Paul certainly had to change up some things, different bait, different lures for different fish. He understood that. So paying attention to those things. And so Christians need the same determination. If Jesus assured his disciples one thing, and that is that not all people and not all individuals are going to be welcoming you. So he told them, he was straight up with them. He says in Luke 10:2, therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. Goes on to say, but into whosoever city ye enter, in verse 10 there, that they receive you not, go your ways into the street of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And so again, I've done my part. I've given you this. Here's the kingdom. God exists. Jesus, his son, died for your sins. You have to be baptized, right? And become this new person and be added to his church. We're in a great position here in the valley. We're growing. I mean, it's a growing community. But the work of the Lord requires each of us to participate in. Success is when preparation meets opportunity. So we prepare ourselves by studying, having fellowship, and then be ready for the opportunities that come our way. And then you'll probably blow it. I blow it. I mean, Charles is with me. You can ask him. Someone, you know, you all, you know, I start talking before I think what I'm going to say, and this goes, you know, but we practice and we keep going. The responses are going to be the same. So things to think about. I really love this verse in Deuteronomy 2:2. We're just about ready to close this lesson. And I like this verse, and the reason I like it is because sometimes we've circled a mountain long enough. We just keep circling. And then sometimes we've got to go a different direction and change. That's what we're trying to do here, the eldership is doing here and have been doing, is to change the direction. Deuteronomy 2:2-3, and the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Right off, he's talking to Israelite people. But we've done the same thing. Let's mix it up. Let's go a different direction. That's what we're trying to do here. Coming off COVID, we got to go. We got people, that souls that are need saving. And so when Jesus tells Peter and the others to follow him, they responded immediately. In doing so, they left their little big catch of fish behind to concentrate on becoming disciples of Jesus. Which catch are you interested in? The material catch of possessions? Or the spiritual salvation of others? God is very interested in catching souls of people. Hopefully, we'll share the same concern and desire and follow just like Peter and the others did. Couple quick verses here. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And then my last scripture this morning, Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. There is no greater, more enduring work that can be undertaken than that of winning souls for the Master. It is a work that endures for eternity. That is my message this morning. If you are here now and are struggling as a Christian and just want to get back on the track, back on that road to heaven, back on helping people, back on winning souls and take care of your own souls, come forward and we can pray for you or make things right. If you're not a Christian here and you haven't been out of the Lord's church, then you don't have the opportunity to be with him in heaven. You don't have the peace and the joy that comes with the contentment of being a Christian on this earth as you sit and live right now. So if we can help you with that as well, please stand and come forward as we sing the song that's been selected.